given me permission to have a copy of the poem. I believe, finally, somebody grows up with a little common sense, you know. This is it. Will keep me awake, so I enjoy a good 8 cups of coffee in the morning. It is best if an independent Baptist preacher always be jittery. It is best. Then you're less predictable. And if you're not predictable, that puts your people on edge and they behave better. Quite honestly, I've learned over 25 years of ministry, if your people know that you're a loose cannon, they're not going to do anything obnoxious in church because of what could happen. Take your Bible with me, Luke 15 in your Bible. I want to encourage you briefly this morning. I have been cautioned regarding time. I want to, he said, Pastor Lopez said, if you go long, you'll derail the whole day. And I don't want to do that because I'm as interested in lunch as you are. So, Luke chapter 15 in your Bible. How many in the room, you've been in Christian service for a number of years, and in the back of your mind, you could make a list of people that disappointed you. Anyone like that? Get your hands in the air. Okay. All of us have that. All of us. May I say something about that? When people you have worked with disappoint you, I want you to pause and know that God Himself is still working.
Amen.
God works beyond you. He may, in someone's heart and life, begin a work with you, but God is still working beyond you.
Yes.
Sometimes Christian servants, especially pastors, get discouraged because you see someone that shows a lot of promise, and then all of a sudden they've been involved in things. They come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, Wednesday night. They come to Bible study. Maybe you have even discipled them. Let's go to Mark Ward here. Where's Mark Ward? At the donuts. Okay. Well, your job as an assistant pastor is to make sure that man is around. Okay? Keep him on track. But Mark Ward does a lot of discipling. Sometimes you can even go into lengthy discipleship with people and you think, wow, this guy is going to be a real champion, or this couple, they're going to be backbones of this church. Sometimes you even look at them and say, these people could be deacon material. And then all of a sudden they fall off the radar screen. Anyone ever had that happen? I mean, you couldn't find them if you sent the FBI out. And it wasn't like anyone, there's Mark Ward. I'm so glad you could show up, Brother Ward. Did you get your beauty rest? It doesn't look like it. But Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse number 11. You know the story, but let me just review it quickly. Luke 15 and 11, the Bible says this, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, now by the way, he had two sons. Well, that's a good thing. He had two sons, but one of them is about to go the wrong direction. That happens sometimes. Pastors, remember something. When one goes the wrong direction, there's still others. How many men have gotten discouraged in the work they're in because they put all their spiritual and mental eggs in one basket? And then they get discouraged because someone turns their back on the church or turns their back on them. And so they contemplate leaving the ministry or leaving that ministry, moving on to another church. And they're not thinking about all the people that are there that want the Word of God to love them. Okay? Understand something. We've always got this going on in any church. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he joined himself unto a certain citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. You know the rest of the story, but we'll get there in a moment. The reality is that as much as you work with people, whether a Sunday school teacher, a bus worker, a youth worker, pastor, whatever capacity you serve people in, there is a truth that sometimes people will disappoint. In the story we're reading right now, the father was disappointed in one of his two sons. Now, watch me think about that for a moment. That is a 50% disappointment ratio. Does everybody see that? 50%. It's unlikely, by the way, that your ratio will be that high. But for the father, pardon me, in Jesus' parable, certainly it was that high. 50%. And you know, that's hard to take because you make personal sacrifices for people. But just as the father did, verse number 12, he divided to them his living or his substance. He gave them his own personal resources. And sometimes we take it personally. when an individual in whom we've invested moves away from us somehow. And I'm not just talking about physically move somewhere, though that's a disappointment too. But I'm talking about when you've invested things in an individual, you've given your time, your effort, your life, you pick that young person up for every youth activity, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you build a relationship with that young person, you've given everything, and frankly, and you know what I'm talking about, Christian worker, and you know what I'm talking about, pastor, frankly, you do that to the point of making deep personal sacrifices. Sometimes sacrifices in family time. Sometimes, often, sacrifices in money. How many times? You can almost, disappointment can lead to discouragement because you're almost bitter. You say to yourself, man, I took that kid to McDonald's 18 times. And what was it worth? You made a personal sacrifice. So there's a deep disappointment. Sometimes you watch a young person who has great potential squander that potential. Well, I've never seen that. I've looked at a young person at times, maybe they ride the bus or come to church, and I think, boy, that's a winner. That kid could really be something. He could really do something. He's got the winning personality. He's got the charm. He has the people connection. He has that certain element about him that when he walks into a room, attention is drawn to him, and you think to yourself, wow, what great potential for God. And then they squander it, and we naturally get disappointed. It is okay to be disappointed at times, but never to be discouraged. There's a huge difference. It's okay to be disappointed, but never discouraged. Doubtless, the father was disappointed. Now, let me remind you, because I think everyone in this room now has someone in their mind that has disappointed them, and you've made an effort toward that person, maybe made personal sacrifices, and they disappointed. Let me remind you of this. The elder brother is still at home. Amen. This is kind of a side point. There is always someone God wants you to work with directly. Find that person. Find that. The wife said, Pastor Ronnie, I put so much stock in so-and-so. Okay, wonderful. But there is a crowd of others that need you as well. Don't you forget that, Pastor. If you leave your pulpit because you've been disappointed over 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, we have, Pastor, we have 5 potential families and they left the church. Quit your church ministry over that, you're quitting on the basis of discouragement and not the leading of God.
Yep. Amen.
The fields are still white unto harvest.
Amen.
Even if some of the harvest falls out of the, what is the technical term for the farmer? The wagon. You don't use wagons anymore. You lose some. You lose some. But do you really lose them? This is where we are short-sighted in ministry. Sometimes people disappoint us, but can I give you a little secret? I've learned after 25 years of doing this. There's a God in heaven who continues to work with His Word in the heart of the person that has disappointed us. Now, just because you don't see that doesn't mean something's not happening. Well, we have the attitude sometimes that unless we're the champion of this person's life and we've been the pivotal individual, and unless we can see that, nothing's happening. I'll tell you something I'm learning. That when my ministry with an individual is cut short by that individual's choice to go somewhere else or to move on or to go into the far country, when that happens, God is still at work. Look every eye down, verse 14. Every eye. And when he had spent all, this is the prodigal now, he's gone into the far country, he's wasted his resources with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Let me ask you a question. Who was the author of the famine? God. Every time an individual comes in contact with the gospel and with the word of God, and they get saved, and they become, listen to these words, a child of God. Not a child of you, but a child of God. Every time that happens, there is a God in heaven who orchestrates events in their lives, the life that is beyond anything you could imagine, in an effort to draw them back. Yeah, Pastor Monty, I just don't see that. You don't need to see it. I love what Brother Schmidt said. You just need to believe it. Believe it. So that means that every person that I have invested my life into, not one of them has been lost. Stop keeping a scorecard. The score will be settled when we all get to heaven.
Amen.
this time period, we don't know what God is doing. And so someone falls off the radar screen completely, and they've disappointed us deeply. But God works when we cannot. In circumstances, years ago I had a young person in my youth group who had in Minnesota where I worked with my twin brother. He had an amazing talent and ability, good personality, very likable kid. And he was one of those faithful ones. I mean, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, he came on his own. His family did not attend the church, active in every youth activity. I mean, one of those people in my heart that I thought, you know, this kid will be a lifer. No question about that. Well, he got out of high school, married wrong, had a big problems in his marriage, ended up being a divorce, and all kinds of things. And he fell off the radar screen. But, you know, every once in a while, over the years, the Lord would lay him on my heart. And with the advent of the internet, I decided, you know, I'm going to look him up. He has a unique last name. His last name is Aho, A-H-O. By the way, he doesn't mind my telling the story. He'll probably listen to this message online later where he lives now. I'm going to contact that kid again every once in a while. And I would search the internet. And, you know, there just aren't any of those people, even online, on the internet. And I thought, well, what in the world happened? And some time ago, out of the clear blue, and I've been thinking about him that week, some time ago, out of the clear blue, it was probably a year and a half ago, I don't know, he called me on the phone. And he said, "Hey, preacher, what are you doing?" By the way, some of the only previous times he had called me in the intermittent years, maybe a couple times he was inebriated when he called. He said, "Preacher, what are you doing?" I told him some things, you know. And he said, "I want you to know something." He said, "God worked in my heart. I said, tell me the story," and I've asked his permission to share it. He said, "No, I really got away from the Lord." And he said, "I got involved in all kinds of things I shouldn't be involved in." He said, "Long story short," he said, "I was involved in a motorcycle accident." And he said, I thought I just tipped the thing over, you know. He said, "I thought I had a few cuts and bruises." He said, "I didn't feel really good. I was sore." But he said, "I didn't go to the doctor." And he said, about a day later, he started to feel dizzy and had odd physical feelings. But he thought he'd get over it. He just didn't go to the doctor. Well, finally, he was rushed by ambulance to the doctor. What had happened was he did not realize that he was bleeding internally. And the bleeding became profuse. And they cut him open from about here all the way down to his abdomen. And they almost lost him because he had lost so much blood internally that his heart went into cardiac arrest. There was nothing left to pump. They saved his life. When he came out of that experience, he said, "Preacher, God was all over it. And everything I heard and learned and grew up with, he said, I knew was right. And when I walked out of that hospital, I said, I'm done." He said, "I'm done living for myself.
Amen.
And I'm not going to live for God." That young person married again, has a lovely wife, children, and is a member of a very, very solid independent Baptist
Amen.
Church in Austin, Texas. And by the way, he's become that pastor's right-hand man. Can I tell you something? God was doing something I couldn't do. Now, I suppose I could bust a person's spleen. I'd figure out a way if I had to. But you know what? That's not a good thing. The Bible does say that a pastor is not to be a striker. I tell my church this all the time. I'm not going to be a striker. I said to my church, I promise, I'm never going to stand outside with a picket sign and picket this church. I'm never going to be a striker. No, I wouldn't do it. I'll work for you. But in all seriousness, God did something that I couldn't do. That young person contacts me almost every day via text. And he'll just say something like, "Good morning, preacher," and communicate with me. And we're friends here. Let me just say this. I have 5 minutes for you. I'm not even to the second point. Let me just say this. The person that you're thinking about right now that you invested in, who disappointed you, God is working in his heart right now. They eventually wake up. Verse 17 says, he came to himself. You can't force a person to come to themselves. You know that? I mean, you ever deal with somebody and they're heading the wrong way? You want to walk up to them and grab them by the collar and say, "Don't go that way, it's wrong, it's wrong, stop, don't do it. You want to do that. You love them. And maybe you approach that person with tears in your eyes and compassion in your heart, and you beg and you plead, and yet they still go that way, and they walk out that door, they'll come to themselves. There's a God in heaven who will see to it. had a young person a few months ago get discouraged about something and came to me. He said, "Well, preacher," he said, "I'm just going to be done with church for a while." And I called him my name and looked at him and said, "You'll be back." I just said, "You'll be back." "What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that?" I said, "You'll get burned and then you'll be back." I said, "I want you to remember these words. You'll get burned and then you'll be back." He said, "Preacher, do you really believe that?" "Yeah, because God is doing something in his life that I can't do." "Well, how do you know, Pastor Mike? How do you know?" "Because he is God's child. And God, as a good parent, is chastening and working with him beyond my ministry. That means that my ministry, where the Word of God is planted into the heart of a child, or in the heart of a young person, or in the heart of an adult, when the Word of God is planted there, I do everything I can to influence for good and for God. But when they reject that, God, the Heavenly Father, takes over in ways I can't possibly imagine. And you know what happens? They start to come back." I had a young person tell me, who really strayed a great distance away, and has now come back. He said to me, "Preacher," he said, "the difference, what made the difference in my life was, you were always there." What's interesting about this story, I want every preacher in this room to listen to me. What's interesting about this story is this. The father was still living in the same house. He was there. Oh, the son went way off to a far country. He was wandering around in some pig slop. But in the back of his mind, he knew the father was still there. I like to picture it this way, that every night the father went out and turned on the porch light in case his son needed light to make his way back up the road. I like to think of it as the father stepping outside of the house as the son is coming up in the distance in the early morning, and he looks through the morning haze to see if there's a lone figure walking down that roadway and headed back up to the house. I like to think that before the sun was set, the father would step out and he would look down that roadway. "Is my son there? Can I see the silhouette of my lost one? Can I see his silhouette against the setting sun?" I think he did it every day. But you know what, gentlemen? Let me just tell you something. You have to be there. In the last few months, I've seen the returning and rekindling of numerous relationships, some of which are more than a decade or two old.
Yes.
Do you know how that happened? I'm still here.
Yes, sir.
Now, everybody, look at this. There is something to be said for long-term ministry.
Amen.
And you will never know the joy of the fatherly embrace of the wanderer who comes home, Pastor, if you yourself are a wanderer.
Amen.
I'm just saying God moves men around. Understand that. This is my third pastorate, and hopefully this is life. The reward, I'm into my 17th year now at Faith Baptist Church. The reward of 17 years is to watch people come back.
Yeah.
I had this couple I was working with in our church. Man, it was interesting. So many faithful coming to everything. Kids into it. I mean, people that are solid, you know. And then all of a sudden, he fell off the face of the earth. By the way, when he did that, he still lives in the area. I still conducted business with him. He had a business that I would use. I still conduct business with him. I would still see him, and occasionally we'd have lunch together. Okay? You mean, Pastor Mike, you just didn't write him off? No. Because God's never written me off. Pastor Mike, you didn't criticize him behind his back? No. Why would I do that? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. You know, when someone goes the wrong direction, don't you dare criticize them.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what happened the last two Sundays? That family's been back.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question. What if when they quit the church, I got discouraged and I left the church? Would they be back? I don't know. But you know what? It's a good thing to see them come back.
Yes.
Here's what I'm saying. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And you do everything you can and trust God for the rest. And you stick by the stuff and be faithful. And watch if someone went out and sold their bypass around and he's sowing his wild oats. He'll be back. He'll be back. How do you know? Because there's a heavenly Father who's going to bring him into the pig pen and wake him up. Isn't that wonderful? nothing I do for God is ever in vain.
Yeah.
Father, take this thought. Help us, Lord, to be determined to continue to work, to trust you, and to be there when they return. God, I pray you'll encourage everyone this day. Bless the workshops as we have them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Pastor Lopez, you come and give us directions.